Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 2 together. How many of y'all feel free right now? I wonder how many days of our lives that we as Americans, those of us who are Americans, notice the freedom that we have, just like feel it. And I wonder how many believers around the world, and especially here in America, notice the freedom that we have been offered, that we live in. Two different kinds of freedoms. It's like a double blessing for the American Christian. Wouldn't y'all agree? Because not every country in the world experiences the blessings that America offers, that God has offered us through this nation that we live in. Most of us don't live here because we chose to live here. Some do, but not most. Many of just were born here by God's grace in this great country. So let me read this to you as we get started this morning with this one single message about a 250-year blessing as it continues after today by God's grace. 250 years ago today, on July the 4th, 1776, a group of men in Philadelphia, trusting in the protection of divine providence, declared to the world that these United Colonies were and of right ought to be free and independent states. For 2.5 centuries, God has sovereignly watched over this nation. Through revolution, in civil war, through world wars and depressions, through seasons of revival and seasons of moral struggle. He has granted us religious liberty, the rules of law, economic opportunity, and a measure of peace and prosperity that has allowed the gospel to advance from these shores to the ends of the earth. We rightly celebrate these gifts with gratitude, with flags and fireworks, with thanksgiving to the giver of every good and perfect gift. Yet as precious as these blessings are, they are not the ultimate freedom. The deepest, most enduring liberty is not political independence from a distant king. It is a spiritual freedom from the dominion of sin and death, purchased by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and experienced only by those who surrender to His Lordship. You see, you can be free as an American citizen and not be free at all if you're not surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can live in some other part of the world and not be free under that governing system, but be freer than any other person on the planet who's not saved, if you've surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to see what true freedom is and how it's found. And I'm so glad that Brother David used the word True freedom is going to be found in becoming bond slaves, bond servants to God. You ever think about that? The best way to be truly free is to surrender your freedom. Hello? Americans don't like to hear that kind of talk because too many people did a lot of sacrificing for us to have the freedoms that we have. But Jesus showed the way. And as was so well explained just moments ago, His way of entering freedom or bringing freedom was to surrender His freedom. That's what a bond servant does. So let me read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 to 17, and then we'll get started. We're only going to focus on one verse out of this whole section. This is where we can see some explanation of how to live in the world as a believer, how to live according to the ways of God in a world that's full of governing bodies in ways that aren't honoring to God. He says in verse 13 to 17, submit yourselves to the Lord, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. And here it is. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You ever noticed that before? You ever picked that up? True freedom is not autonomy or the absence of restraint. I think sometimes we think that if we're free, I can do whatever I want. You're free to do whatever you want. At your will, at your pleasure, at your desires. Right? It's not autonomy. It's not the absence of restraint. It's the joyful surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's why God gave us the free will to decide to love Him or not, to accept His love or not. You're free to decide. And as Americans saved by His blood, those Americans who are saved by the blood of Christ, that's who I'm talking to. As Americans saved by His blood and blessed with extraordinary civil liberties, and I mean extraordinary, there's no place else on the planet that has what we have. That would be a good place for y'all to say praise the Lord. Our lives should reflect deep gratitude to God by living as His bondslaves. And I think when we celebrate the 4th of July every year and we think about our freedoms, we rightfully think about everything that it took for us to get where we are today. And I think we should. But I wonder how often do we think about the way that I live my Christian life reflects my gratitude for the blessing of being an American citizen. The way that I surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life reflects on how I'm worshiping my Savior because of the many blessings that I'm experiencing as an American citizen. Am I using my freedoms to honor Him? Am I using my freedoms to do good? Am I using my freedoms to point others to this ultimate freedom that we find in Jesus? Because that's what honors God. It's not just that we have freedom in this great nation. It's not just that we're blessed to be part of this great nation of freedom and liberties because of God's blessing. It's how we steward those things. It's how we live with those things. So here we are. Let's just break down one verse, verse 16, 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, act as free men. All right? And of course, in today's world, that means act as free people. I don't really think I needed to point that out, but I did because somebody online is going to wonder. Right? Act like you're free if you're a believer. Even if you're not a believer and you are an American citizen and you have the freedoms that God provided for the citizens of America, then act like it. Right? The problem is we look in the world today and there's many Americans who are acting like it and it's becoming a problem. We have the freedom to say whatever we want to say. And nobody should shut that down. That's part of it, isn't it? You're free to do what you want to do, say what you want to say, disagree, all those things. But this message today is for the believers who are citizens of this great nation. The double blessing. Just because we can say whatever we want to say, just because we can do whatever we want to do, doesn't mean that we necessarily should. Always. So when we look in 1 Peter and he says, act as free men or act like free people, he's talking about the freedom in Christ. He's talking about the freedom that comes from being separated from the chains of sin in your life. And the separation between us and God. If we live in that freedom, and our life is in the habit of acknowledging that freedom, then it will almost be automatic that we will honor God with the freedoms we have as American citizens. Right? Just because I'm free to say whatever I want to say, because the Constitution of the United States of America tells me that I can, and people have sacrificed many years of sacrifice has provided that right to me, doesn't mean that I should always say what I want to say if it doesn't honor God. I shouldn't always do what I want to do if it doesn't honor God. Because it's the kingdom of God first and everything else second. So when we're watching fireworks last night, as we were, my wife and our nephew were, pretty amazing show down there in Hendersonville. I think it's amazing. It just always makes me reflect on just how much God has been faithful to this part of the world and just how much we don't deserve it. And just how on a Monday, October the 18th in 1971, I came into the world in Lamar County, Alabama, and that's the only reason I get to experience the blessings of being an American. It's by God's grace, y'all. I'm proud to be an American. I will do whatever this country asks of me that I'm able to do. I love my country, but I don't love my country more than I love God. And if I'm going to act like I'm free, if I'm going to act free, then I have to understand that this blessing of this nation, this blessing of being free as an American citizen, for me personally, is a stewardship issue. Right? It's a stewardship issue. God is calling us to a life of stewardship in all that He's given us, including our great nation. I'm never going to tell people you shouldn't celebrate independence or freedom in America. I'm never going to say that we shouldn't be happy and excited about who we are as a nation. I will be the first one with you. But I'm always going to point to God. We're always going to say it's because of God and His faithfulness. And it's because we're grateful people that we have a God that would bless us in such a way. God's calling us to a grateful, responsible way of living that gives Him the glory for 250 years of independence and freedom in this world. Not only that, but we're the strongest part of the world. Right? I mean, that's just a fact. I try not to say that in a bragging way because we didn't really do anything except for do what God led us to do to get there. And it was by His grace and His strength, because the people that were starting our country and living in our country did their best to follow Him in the beginning. And as I said before, there were times when the nation got away from God and then it got back to God. There was revival and then we get away. It's just the way of life. It's the sin cycle that we all live in. We're not any different than any other nation, any other group of people that's ever existed. And let me say this before I get too far down the road. There are believers around the world that are just as blessed as we are. Their blessings are just look different than ours. We're not the greatest Christians on the planet. Hello? We're allowed to be thankful for the blessings we have, that we live in. All right. So that's it. Let me give you this illustration, all right? Keep it in your mind. This is just an example of all of this, and then I'll move on. Let's imagine for a moment that you're able to stand and look at the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, right? I mean, back in 1752, That's when they cast that bell. That's when that bell was created. And that bell was rung to proclaim the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence. Can you imagine being there? I don't know if I would want to live there because they wore them crazy looking wigs all the time. Got them fancy clothes on. It's like talking all proper and whatever. No, that's not me. That wouldn't be me. But it's pretty cool though. So they're reading the Declaration of Independence. But look, on the bell, right, there's an inscription. Anybody know what it is? It says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That's what it says on the Liberty Bell. That's Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. And if we're not careful, we'll read that inscription and think, let's go fight for freedom for everybody on the planet. No, it's talking about liberty in Christ is what it's talking about. It's talking about freedom in Christ, you see. The men and the women that were instrumental in God using to start this country, they weren't really trying to create a whole new country, and that's all they were trying to do. They were trying to exercise their freedom to worship God in however which way they wanted to. And God used all of those desires to create this great and amazing nation. For 250 years, God had preserved this nation through blood and sacrifice. God's faithfulness got us where we are. And He's also used it all as a platform to preach His gospel. Do y'all realize that? All of what God's doing with the nation for the last 250 years, He's been using to preach the gospel around the world. And here's the sad part. We got more missionaries coming to this nation than we do going around the world now. Why? Because we need it. People need to hear the gospel. People from other nations are sending missionaries here to tell us about Jesus. Hello? We probably need to pray about that. All right, let me get on to the next point. This is 1 Peter chapter 16 again. He says, "Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil." That's hard. That bends your mind a bit. You ever been like walking normal, not doing anything strenuous, and all of a sudden your knee gives out or something? You're just like, whoa, what was that? That's what this does to my brain. Right, I'm reading along, and it's like, don't use your freedom as a covering for evil. And all of a sudden, my brain cramped up from like, wait a minute, whoa, is that possible? Because we don't want the word evil associated with ourselves. Nobody does. But you have to look at that and say, okay, well, why is the Word of God giving instructions to not do this? I would think it's a safe assumption to make that because people do this. So don't do it. Let me give you this illustration, and then I'll explain. The founders understood this principle with remarkable clarity. This is what, according to not using your freedoms for evil or for your own gain. In a letter to the Massachusetts militia dated October 11th, 1798, President John Adams wrote, here's what he wrote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." You ever heard that before? He's saying that the Constitution that they all got together and debated over and argued and fought with each other and finally come to this conclusion and signed it and God blessed it and whatever. He's saying it was written and it only works if people are moral and religious, seek the Lord. Anybody who doesn't, it's not any good to them. Does that explain some things that are going on in our world today? Right? It's the same thing with the Word of God, is it not? I'm not saying the Constitution is equal to the Word of God. I'm just saying that if the world is going to live in such a way that disregards the Word of God, then what good is the Word of God to them? Right? If they're not going to accept it and look at it, then it doesn't do them any good. They knew that the American people, if they abandoned virtue and the fear of God, the structures of liberty they had erected would eventually collapse. Don't y'all get worried about that from time to time. Just looking at the news. That's why I say read your Bible more than you watch the news. Talk to God more than you watch the news. So in our American experience, temptation is similar and perhaps greater, I think. As American citizens in today's world, as Christian Americans, Americans who are believers, the temptation to somehow use our freedoms to either gain something for ourselves or eliminate ourselves from responsibility can happen. It's just as easy as somebody saying something like, well, at least we're not like those people. Or we're driving down the road and we see a situation with a group of people and we say, those people need Jesus, as if we're somehow better than they are. Or because we're free to do whatever we want or not do whatever we want, maybe we don't get involved in the ministry the way we should because it's uncomfortable. Or because we're putting judgment on someone else. Anything that leads us into sin and we use our Christian liberty or even our American liberties to safeguard that or promote that is what we're learning about. So basically, if it leads to sin or promotes sin or becomes sin, then let's not do that. That's why Paul says, look, everything's permissible. Paul taught that. He's like, everything's permissible. Just not everything's beneficial. Not everything is helpful. Not everything is honors God. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. It doesn't always honor God. It doesn't always bring glory to God. It doesn't always advance the gospel. That hurts me a little bit because it means I can't eat ribs in front of a vegetarian. Not because it's sinful, but it's just not helping the gospel sometimes. I can't have their attention. Just trying to lighten it up a little bit, y'all. All right, let's finish up verse 16. Here's the point. He says, use your freedoms, and he means your freedoms in Christ, but it also applies to our freedoms as American citizens, right? Because the American citizen freedom blessing only comes because of Christ, right? So it's all part of the package. Use it as bond slaves of God. How many of y'all like the idea of the word bond slaves being attached to you? Any kind of slave for that matter, right? Because now we're being taught in this world, in this culture, that slavery is bad. And I would agree with that 100%. No, nobody misunderstand me. I'm not saying anything like other than that. This is different. This is a different kind of slavery. All right, let me read to you the definition of what a bond slave is. A bond servant is the same thing. Some translations use the word bond servant because they feel like it's nicer. It doesn't hurt your feelings so bad. All right, bond slave, a person bound to lifelong service to a master, often originating from an indentured worker, someone who owed the master something, who voluntarily chose permanent servitude rather than going free. Now, if we understand what that is, it makes it a completely different situation, doesn't it? Because it would help us eliminate this idea of the American understanding of slavery as bad, as owning people and forcing them to work in harsh conditions. That's bad. It's sinful. Don't do it. But a bond slave is one who owed somebody a debt, and they were working it off. That would be a slave of some degree. You owe them, so you have to work that debt off. And then after the debt was paid off, the slave, the servant, made a choice to stay working for the master by free will for life. And you're sitting back saying, well, why would anybody do something like that? Well, maybe the master's blessings were so great that you didn't want to leave. Maybe the way you were living at the master's house as a servant was way better than you could do anywhere else that you were living before. You got yourself in debt somehow. You stay with the master, you won't have to go into debt again. There's always reasons why the person would make them free will decide to be a bond slave. So being a bond slave is a choice, a free will choice for us to God. Now, anybody who's saved, anybody who's accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and surrendered your life to Him, died to yourself and became His by purchase through the blood of Christ on the cross, you decided to become a bond slave. That's what that is. Right? So, when He says, use your freedoms, use it as bond slaves of God, meaning now your freedoms in Christ and your freedoms as an American citizen that God blessed you with, they become a tool for you to serve God. They are now what you use to serve God, to honor God, to bless people, to love God, to bring glory to God, to make disciples, to be the witness. This is not an oppressive slavery. This is a voluntary slavery. Right? This is you belong to the kingdom of God. The freest people on earth are those who have willingly become bond slaves to God. Remember I said a while ago, the most free people in the world are the ones who willingly give up their freedoms? Make sense? We belong to Christ first, y'all. We belong to Jesus first. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's everything. So let your identity as His bondslave dictate how you live for Him. Let this who you are in Christ dictate how you live as an American citizen. And if we can learn to do that, if we can do that well, then that will honor not only our Savior and His sacrifice and His blessings, not only will it do that, but it will also honor all the men and women who've died over the years to provide the freedom that we have in this country. All the sacrifices that were made. All the trouble that people went through as we grew as a nation and figured out who we are and what we're about. And as we're still doing. We're still trying to figure that out, y'all. But if we know that we're bond slaves, if we know that we're servants to the Most High God, and everything we do and everything we say and everything we engage ourselves in and however we do it in this world is a reflection of our Master, of our Lord, and we surrender to His Spirit in our lives, how much better can we honor this blessing of freedom in the United States of America? I mean, it's all an act of worship, y'all. Celebrating the 4th of July, act of worship. Living like you're free, act of worship. Inviting others into the freedom you have in Christ, act of worship. It's what it is. I'm going to finish up with this. 250 years ago, a group of imperfect but courageous men signed their names to a document that changed the course of history, appealing to the Creator for the justice of their cause. Since that day, God has been faithful to this land in ways too numerous to count, protecting it in war, prospering it beyond human expectation, and allowing the light of the gospel to shine from its shores to the darkest places on earth. We celebrate these blessings with genuine joy and gratitude. Each Independence Day. But it's more important that we recognize that every good gift comes from above. The eternal freedom that we get through Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross and our surrender to that is what matters the most. So we're to act as free men and women. I mean, how much more simple can it be? Somebody died for your freedom. Not just somebody, the Lord. Act like it. I'm not trying to be ugly, just act like it. I'm talking to myself. Get up, wake up every morning, praise the Lord for the freedom that you have in all different ways, and get up and act like it. Right? Love people, you know, because you're free. Right? forego that conflict that you so badly want to engage in, because you're free to. You're free to say, I'm not going to do this. You're free to say, I'm going to love this person instead of engaging in whatever. You're free to offer grace instead of judgment, because you're free in Christ. I'll leave you with this, and then we're going to watch one more video. As we watch the video, I want you to read the words as a prayer in your own mind, and then we'll sing. We love this country best when we love Christ the most. And I think if we go through Independence Day celebrations without recognizing that, first and foremost and up front, we fail. We fail. If it's all about America and its freedoms and who we are and how mighty we are and how great we are and how less everybody else is, that's not about God. It's not at all what God gave us the freedom for in the first place. It's about worshiping Him. It's about the freedom to worship God. That's it. And everything that comes with the United States of America is tied to that. So let's watch this video together. It's short. It's like a minute and 12 seconds. Let's read the words as prayers in our minds, then we're going to sing together.